Welcome back, one and all, to a holiday edition of the Patty's Picks podcast. Today we'll be looking at the Grade 1 Malibu Stakes at Santa Anita in a slightly altered format. After speaking to an army of contributors for this year's Breeders' Cup and enjoying the process, I received an idea from guest Christina Stevanovic, who suggested that a few people should return someday to put together a superfecta live for listeners. In other words, come to an agreement on a bet that includes the four horses that we believe will finish first, second, third, and fourth in the race. I'll be doing just that today with her help, along with Nico Constantelis, another longtime Patty's Picks contributor. For those of you who were expecting fellow Fordham alum George McKnight to join as well, that was the plan at one point, but he unfortunately had to cancel at the last minute. The quartet became a trio, but we eventually came to an agreement after some bickering. Please enjoy.
Okay, let's see. What is like, welcome back to Patty's Picks? You think that would work?
This is a good intro, I think.
Yeah, you think this works?
You just keep this raw.
Yeah. We're talking about horse racing. We are figuring out the Grade 1 Malibu, the 10th race at Santa Anita on December 26th. Do you two mind introducing yourselves a little bit for the guests?
Nico, take it away.
Oh, thank you. How kind. Hello, everyone. I am Nico Constantelis, a recent Fordham grad and now Fordham employee. If you listened to the last podcast, I was unemployed. Since then, I have gotten a job. So yes, very happy about that.
What do you do for Fordham?
I work in their finance department.
That's vague.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like to keep it vague.
Keeks, what are you up to?
Hi, everyone. I'm Christina Stevanovic. I'm also a recent Fordham graduate. I now work at Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. I do research there. And I'm a little embarrassed to be back on Patty's Pick podcast because of my really bad showing last time, but I'm happy to be back.
It was a bad showing, but I think we both did horribly.
Yeah.
I think we were like last and second to last. Like it was that bad.
No. Yeah. I didn't think we ripped apart the horse that won.
We did. Yeah.
Yep.
Cause we thought Chad Brown would be better on the turf.
And yeah.
He was embarrassing. Yeah. No good. Now this idea, this superfecta idea was yours, Christina.
Yes. Yeah, I thought it would be fun if a few of us got together and had to do what we usually do when we go to the track and do a superfecta for, like, usually the last race, just to have fun at the end of the day.
Yeah, and we're making that for this bigger race, obviously, and one that we don't really play. We don't look at California racing often.
What do I know about California racing?
You tell me.
Very little, being that I'm not from California, nor have I ever been. Nor do I have any desire to go, honestly. Not a huge fan of the state.
It feels different and I don't like it.
It seems a little overrated.
I agree.
Okay, I'm going to just jump in here. Been to California. I'm going to say I didn't like it, but I think you don't get to say that unless you've been.
Okay, do you think I would like it?
Well, okay, here's the thing. I think I would have liked it if I went up north to like Yosemite and stuff.
Sure.
Oh, Yosemite's cool.
Yeah, like, and Yosemite's in California, which people forget.
Yeah.
But I was in like Anaheim, LA, like area, didn't enjoy it.
So we're generalizing.
Yeah, California is enormous if you haven't seen it on the map.
I've spotted it, yeah.
I don't know if Nico has.
I've looked at a map.
Want to talk about the race?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know, this is supposed to be four people. George McKnight could not join us because he overslept and then canceled. And so it was kind of a two-step process for us to get down to three people. That leaves us with one spot open for the superfecta. How do we want to fill that spot?
I say we put out a Twitter poll and have your followers respond.
So Patty's Picks does have a Twitter. It has two followers.
Am I one of them?
No, you aren't. You are not either. I don't think a Twitter poll would be a good idea.
I was going to suggest we phone in Chris Murray.
Ooh. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if that's feasible.
We would have to call Chris Murray and then he would have to answer the phone.
Like the old days.
Nico, do you mind giving Chris a call?
Yeah, sure. I can try it. I don't know logistically how this is going to work.
I don't also know logistically because he hasn't done this race either.
We'd have to read him the name.
Why don't we think of some other ideas before we just call Chris Murray?
Well, the obvious one is to throw in the favorite.
I was going to suggest throw in the favorite. That's what we usually do.
Okay, let's just throw in the favorite. We don't have to call Chris Murray.
Okay.
All right. So, congrats.
Sorry, Chris.
Chris Murray, miss you, buddy, if you're keeping this part in.
Oh, he'll be listening. No, yeah, we love Chris.
Hope you're doing well, Chris.
Next time we do this, he can do it instead of George. Far more reliable.
Yeah.
I don't know why we didn't do that in the first place.
We should have. It's okay, though. Yeah, he made a great showing.
Saratoga group, too.
He was in our Saratoga group.
Yeah.
It's true. It's okay. Chris can be on next time. No problem at all. The likely favorite in this race is Taba, coming off a win in the Pennsylvania Derby with a 108 Beyer speed figure. And then he followed that up with a third-place finish in the Breeders' Cup class behind Olympiad and Flightline.
Like, I think I'm okay with that. I guess it makes sense.
The one knock on him is the distance.
That's going to be my only question. How do we feel about that? Pat Morris. Like, you guys are both better at sprints.
Well, come on.
I think the distance is an issue, but he won with a 103 Beyer speed figure on debut at 6 furlongs.
Yeah.
I think he's capable of it. And with the Beyers he's been running, even if he regresses like 10 points, I think that's still a top 4 finish in this race.
Okay. I'm fine with it. I was fine.
In the absence of a fourth better, I think it's kind of safe to pick Taba on top.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sure. Keeks, I think I want to give you first crack at your pick for the Super. What are your thoughts? The most likely horse you think to either win or just finish top 4?
I'm not going to pick a winner because I don't feel that confident in this race. But like we were saying before Nico hopped on the call, I was interested in Forbidden Kingdom.
Sure.
I like the distances. And then my next, which I think Nico might take, is Nakatomi. But I was just throwing them both out there so we can discuss both if we'd like.
So looking at the one, Forbidden Kingdom, Nico, you can talk about him after I introduce him just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Forbidden Kingdom, definitely on the trail to the Kentucky Derby earlier this year. Very nice wins in the San Vicente and San Felipe. Comes to the Santa Anita Derby as the favorite ahead of Taba and Messier, gets injured and has to miss time. Comes back at 6 furlongs, runs okay in the Santa Anita Sprint Championship, but obviously a little bit cold off the bench. And then comes back in November with a 99 Beyer speed figure, finishing third to Get Her Number, who almost won the Cigar Mile against Mind Control. So definitely a live horse here. I want to hear your thoughts, Nico.
So for better or for worse, recently I've started picking horses based on experience at the distance. That's just one of the big things that I've been looking at. And I say for better or for worse because my record doesn't really speak highly of my success. But yeah, like Keeks mentioned, Forbidden Kingdom seems to be the most comfortable horse at this distance in this race, running mostly like a lot of sprints and then a couple there at 7 furlongs where it kind of did it successfully. I think the consistency in the Beyer's speed figure also is something to look at. Obviously, the injury kind of derailed that track, but consistently mid to high 90s, it seems, in these big races recently. I think it will be towards the top of what we'll see here, aside from Taba, obviously, with the high 100s.
Sure. Yeah, I would have to agree. I happen to like Forbidden Kingdom. I may pick him to win. Taba's a little bit tough to get around in some ways. But like you said, if you're looking for a horse most suited to the distance and a horse that's also rounding into form, I think Forbidden Kingdom's the one. I think he's just getting back on track after that setback earlier this year. It's definitely going to run well, in my opinion. It's just how well, but that's not really the game we're playing for a superfecta. We're trying to find horses that are going to land in that quartet. Keith?
Yeah, no, like Nico pointed out, I like the consistency of the horse. And I think that's something you can trust. There's a lot of horses in this race. And if you have to pick somebody to go against a pretty sure favorite, I think this is a pretty safe option.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Keeks mentioned her second pick and predicted that Nico was interested. The Wesley Ward trainee, Nakatomi.
Yeah, I like Nakatomi. I like Tyler Gaffleone. I think he's a good horse.
Good horse, Tyler Gaffleone.
The other thing about Nakatomi that
are you going to correct yourself?
I did. I said,
oh, okay.
Yeah. The one thing about Nakatomi, also similar to Forbidden Kingdom, is the distance. Although never ran 7 furlongs, the 6 furlongs, even 6.5, running those distances with success. I think that extra furlong or even half furlong shouldn't be too much of an issue. But again, it's just something to look at, especially with a field that's not really too experienced at the distance.
Sure. I guess that makes sense. Yeah. Like you said, Tyler Gaffalione hops on him again. Joel Rosario rode him in the Gallon Bob Stakes at Parks. But Gaffalione comes back to ride him at Keeneland. But I don't know if either of you two saw the replay for that race. He got a perfect trip with Tyler Gaffalione aboard. Got down on the rail. Bit of a stumble at the start. He broke eighth, but he got quickly into third. And just kind of snuck right up the rail and just kicked clear of the other horses. Very impressive ride to get that 93 buyer speed figure, which makes me a little cautious taking him too high up on the charts here, just because if that's the best he can do, is that 93 buyer speed figure at 6.5 furlongs, it's going to be tough for him to maybe get past the very best in this field. So top four, certainly a candidate, just be, I would be careful to take him too high up.
Geeks, anything?
Yeah, Geeks, anything on Nakatomi?
I guess after you point that out, I'm a little bit more hesitant. I still would, I guess, include in top four, like you're saying, but not too high up.
Sure.
But I also, I guess, I'm kind of like sneaking down on the second page now and looking at Hoist the Gold.
Sure.
Who has just run or like close to this distance a lot. Sure. So I guess, I mean, if I had to, it really depends on like our fourth horse, but I guess I would not be upset to toss Nakatomi out if there was like a good enough argument for another horse.
Well, we could have those three right now. We
yeah, yeah, yeah.
In our head, Taba, yeah. Forbidden Kingdom, and Nakatomi could be our three. That could be that could be for now. And then if we find somebody we like along the way, we can definitely replace. And I think I do kind of want to talk about Hoist the Gold next. When you want to talk about those horses that aren't necessarily win candidates but can certainly sneak in, Hoist the Gold is an extremely interesting option. Nico, can you take us through a little bit about what you thought about
him? Yeah. The more I looked at this race, the more I was leaning away from Nakatomi and more towards Hoist the Gold. Dallas Stewart, who I just learned earlier, is a successful Kentucky trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously having Joel Rosario on helps a lot. But talking about experience, like this is probably the most experienced horse in this race, it looks like. And it's running with success, even recently, coming into form, like you were saying earlier about Forbidden Kingdom, but this horse really seems to be doing that, if not a little bit better. He had that 78 buyer at Amsterdam Grade 2, and then since just 90 buyer speed figures and higher. Although not really winning those races, finishing second behind what I can imagine is good competition there.
Yeah, you look at Hoist the Gold, and it's kind of almost as if he's the opposite of Nakatomi in a lot of ways. Nakatomi rarely runs in over his head, is always usually in a position to win, and often takes advantage. Well, Hoist the Gold, we've seen this horse run at 30-1, 50-1. We've seen this horse run 25-1, two back in the Perryville Stakes, finishes second to Gunite, who ran very well in the Breeders' Cup last month. Hoist the Gold always kind of runs in over his head, but finds ways to sneak in to that top four, which is kind of the game we're playing here. Kind of a hard horse to ignore. He's a very easy horse to toss if you're trying to find a winner, but he's a little bit tougher to toss if you're trying to find the horse that's going to mess you up, the horse that's going to get in the way of your bet. Keeks?
Yeah, no, I feel like we're kind of getting to that point in trying to decide the superfecta where we're like, we know this horse isn't going to win, but it's going to be in the top four. Yeah, no, not winning, but yeah, like coming in close. So
sure.
Ignore it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there are some outsiders to consider. We seem to have our four favorites, but there are definitely some horses in here that are just very difficult to ignore. And I think it's worth talking about them. And we're actually going to start with my Kentucky Derby pick and Nico's Kentucky Derby pick, I believe, the two Messier for Bob Baffert and John Velasquez.
Yeah, as a diehard Rangers fan, I loved Messier going into the Kentucky Derby.
Sure.
Aside from my Rangers fandom, I thought it was a really great horse and I thought it was really good value. I know not the favorite, but definitely up there. I think 8-1, 10-1, maybe something around there.
7-1.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And then obviously a huge disappointment in the race, finishing 15th.
Well, we know what happened. We saw Rich Strike close from out of nowhere. Any horse that was on the front end that day just collapsed.
Yeah.
And he was definitely one of those, broke fourth and then ended up finishing 15th.
Yeah. So huge disappointment. And honestly, since then, ran a 40 by her speed figure, which is just disaster.
A disaster, yeah.
So I think the hope is maybe get back to that form that he was running prior to the Kentucky Derby. But I don't know. It would be a lot just to kind of pick that off assumption.
Sure. Yeah, definitely a wild card.
Yeah.
Peaks, any thoughts?
I guess my only thoughts, I'm kind of just looking at like past races, but like more, I guess 2021 seems like if he can kind of bounce back from the like 40 buyer speed figure, mm-hmm. then I think he seems a little bit more comfortable at like 6-7 furlongs then, if he can bounce back, I don't see why couldn't be a contender for top four, but
yeah, that's a good point. It's a good spot there, Keith. As a two-year-old, this horse had a lot of experience at sprint distances. Obviously, the speed figures weren't as good. He was 2 years old. But it just kind of demonstrates that he was definitely proficient at those distances. And the real question that I have is, if we were looking at this race in March, after he ran that 103 buyer speed figure in the Robert B. Lewis, would we support him over a horse like Nakatomi, who beat him last time? But there was clearly something wrong with him in November. The question is, do we trust him now to do what he did earlier this year? And it's just really hard to assess whether or not that's going to come together, because that race, that was him bleeding. That wasn't him suffering a setback. That was him physically being unable to run that day, unable to compete. And it's just a matter of, can he pull himself together in a month with Bob Baffert and John Velasquez working on him?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've already named a handful of horses that are definitely able at this point in their careers, and I've kind of proven it recently. Mm-hmm. And we've said that enough that I don't know if it's worth taking a shot on a horse that whose last race kind of just stumbled.
I think I want to talk about next the three, Apprehend. Bit of a puzzle there. Which horse are we going to get? Are we going to get the 107 buyer speed figure he ran the last time he ran at Santa Anita in October, or are we going to get the horse that kind of just laid a dud at a mile and a 16th at Zia Park, losing to Perfect Flight, who we may or may not talk about later? It's kind of difficult to gauge what kind of horse this is at this point in his career.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, Pat. And it's like I was saying earlier, I think something to look for in the horse's experience is consistency right now for a race like this. And if you're kind of questioning the type of horse you're going to get just because of previous inconsistent showings, then I don't really know. Like, it's tough. But yeah. Again, I'm not too confident to, like, pick this horse.
I will say that race at Santa Anita, again, one of the few times he's run at Santa Anita, is better than that optional claiming tag. I think that the horses that he beat that day by a lot, he beat Holden the Loot and Breakfast Ride. Both of those horses are pretty highly touted California allowance runners who could probably run in a stakes race and do pretty well. So that 107 is a legitimate speed figure, I think. But just to come back at a mile and a 16th, which is maybe too long for him, but still at 2-5 odds, you shouldn't really be losing. It's almost a step down, honestly, to run in that optional claimer at Santa Anita. To go to the Zia Park Derby and finish second at those odds feels a little bit off to me.
Yeah, it seems like a little bit of a weird horse, like we were just saying, like a race that you should be winning and you're losing, and then winning a race that you should be losing. Like, it seems a little off. And then also, after you put up a 37 buyer speed figure to then come back, put up a 107 and win.
Yeah.
And then go back out and lose.
Yeah. And the race before the 37, he finished second to CZ Rocket and beat Diamond Oops, who, again, those are both stakes runners. So it's very tricky.
Yeah.
Better to stay away, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about a superfecta where we just need someone to get in there, sure. This horse seems like the random horse that could do it. But this horse could finish second, it could win, or it could come dead last, and I have no idea. So sure. I'd rather stay away because of that.
Fair enough. We got on the outside here. There are a few here that we have to at least talk about briefly. Perfect Flight, the horse that beat Apprehend last time out in the Zia Park Derby, ships back to Santa Anita for Peter Miller. Ran on turf two back at Santa Anita, finished third in the Twilight Derby, and before that ran a 92 buyer speed figure on dirt. at a route distance, a mile and a 16th. Now cuts back to 7 furlongs. Thoughts?
I mean, my initial thoughts were just, yeah, cutting down the distance and not really having much to like base, like analyzing the horse off of besides, I guess, 1 furlong, but 6.5 at 40 buyer speed figure. Yeah.
Sure. Absolutely. Those races in New York at 2 are a little tricky to figure out because it's the only sprint experience he had was that race at Belmont and is, I believe, his debut. He hasn't run at a sprint distance since. And so this cutback kind of feels like a natural next step after he beat Apprehend, but is it the appropriate spot for him? I'm not sure.
The one thing to look at, I think, is its past 6 races hasn't finished outside of the top 4.
No, he hasn't. And there were some good races in there.
Yeah, if we're going for a superfect, someone to finish in the top 4, this horse is doing it consistently as of recently.
The only question is he in over his head here?
Yeah, I mean, that is something to look at. But I think this horse has performed, right? I mean, they're cutting down the distance for him. But I feel like jockeys don't do that for no reason, right? Like, he comes out the gate hot often.
Yeah.
And, like, kind of can hang where he starts. I don't expect this to be too fast. I mean, Teva will either come out sprinting or kind of hang back knowing that he's capable of closing. So it's really up to that. If it is a fast race, I would count Perfect Flight out. But if not, I think Perfect Flight is definitely capable of finishing top 4.
I think the 2 speeds we have to look at, and if we want to talk about early speed quickly, I think Forbidden Kingdom can go. Right. And I think a horse, which I actually like the name of this horse for as an early speed type, Straight No Chaser, is absolutely going to the front.
Yes.
Yeah, so those are your 2 speeds. If Perfect Flight gets run off his feet, I don't believe he's going to be able to make a run like he did last time.
I agree. Okay. I think the competition is way too fast here, assuming that it opens quick. And if it doesn't, I think Perfect Flight is a good horse to pick here.
Sure.
But okay. That's the decision we need to make.
Sounds good. We move on to another bit of an outsider, kind of a one race wonder at this point in his career. Strava for Dallas Stewart and Flavien Prat.
Yeah, I didn't really see too much in Strava. That last race obviously is something to look at. It's a great performance, winning by 6 lengths. But aside from that, it's not really anything better than some of the other horses we've already highlighted.
Sure. Keeks, can you spot why I don't personally like that last race?
1 second.
Sure.
Let me see if I can figure it out. Nico, do you know?
No, I'm trying to figure it out also. Oh, it's definitely something about the competition.
Nope. Although the competition was weak, but he did crush them. What about that optional claimer might indicate that maybe he's not as good as that 98 buyer speed figure? What was the weather like that day?
Sloppy.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to cut in. Keeks, just say sloppy track.
Sloppy track.
That's right. It was the sloppy track.
I didn't know if that was it or not.
That was it. Yeah, for sure. Sloppy track at Churchill. He suddenly improves 30 points over his previous form at Keeneland. I'll let you talk about him a little bit more, but that's just why I find it a bit suspect to take him here.
Okay, well, yeah, now that we're talking about how the last performance probably is not indicative of how this horse is going to perform here. I mean, I originally even wasn't too confident about this horse, despite like pretty good performances at like shorter distances. Yeah, I guess kind of the way we're analyzing this is not horse by horse. So we have to look at the 4 horse like group. And like when you point it out with Perfect Flight, it's like, yeah, I'm not too confident that Perfect Flight would win, and they're sure there might be like some conditionals to like how Perfect Flight would perform, but I don't like Strava isn't finishing in the top 4 consistently like that, so mm-hmm. Yeah,
moving on to our last outsider, and this is one I'm a little fond of, to be honest. I think Straight No Chaser for trainer Dan Blacker is vaguely interesting. I'm not saying I'm taking him to win, but I do see some things I like. I'll let Nico, you know, tear him a new one before I get into it. But
either wins or finishes in dead last.
Well, that race is on the turf at 5 furlongs. I don't want to stick up for the horse. I don't want to do that. I want to be impartial. I will point that out, though.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so like the 5 furlongs race, let's say we're just ignoring that one. And like we can throw away, I guess, the first one too.
Sure.
Being also on the turf, also 5 furlongs. That last race at 6.5 furlongs is actually a good race, right?
Yeah.
You run a 91. You win by almost 2 lengths. I don't know this competition, but still, like, sure, that's a good performance. It's just a matter of now you have an experienced horse, right? 3 races, get some experience under your belt. How are you going to stack up against other horses that have run and run a lot?
Yeah.
That's my only concern.
Keith?
I have the same concerns. Otherwise, it kind of makes me really nervous. 91 at 6.5 furlongs.
In his third race.
Yeah, that could be incredibly dangerous for our superfecta here.
Yeah. Like Nico said, way in over his head here.
Yeah.
Grade one, going from an optional winning 50,000 to a grade one stakes race, just very dangerous. I 100% agree. My thought process for defending him a little bit is he's going to go to the front. And if we don't think anybody's going to come after Forbidden Kingdom, do we think that Straight No Chaser can hang on for fourth?
At that point, it just comes down to a stamina thing.
Yeah, 100%. And it also comes down to the other horse's ability to chase him down.
Right, right.
Like, if we think that Forbidden Kingdom's going to hold up, which we do, we all like Forbidden Kingdom.
Yeah.
Straight No Chaser could finish fourth or fifth, and it's really hard to tell how far back he's going to fall.
I get that, but Straight No Chaser has also never run 7 furlongs. So we're just assuming that extra 0.5 furlong will be enough for him to kind of stay in there without anyone right there to kind of take over fourth.
Yeah, very true. I typically give a horse a 0.5 furlong. I think about it this way. If a horse had only run 1/16, you would trust the horse to run 1/8, right?
Yeah.
So what's the difference?
But then that's the same case for other horses, I guess, right? There was another horse we look at, like Nakatomi, for example. Never run 7 furlongs, but has ran 6.5 successfully.
Sure.
So what's to say that Nakatomi won't be there instead of Straight No Chaser?
They have the same weakness, I think, that they're not fast enough. They're not fast enough to win this race, like based on their speed figures. The difference for me, and again, I don't want to influence you too much because, again, I taught you two how to do this, and so I have a little bit too much sway if I talk too much. But Nakatomi, we know what Nakatomi is capable of. We've seen Nakatomi do over and over again the same thing. Straight No Chaser's had one race on dirt.
Yeah, which is why I think that's too much of a risk to just put on Straight No Chaser to say, oh, yeah, okay, he's done one successfully, so his second one's got to be better.
That's fair. No, that's a totally legitimate argument. Keeks, what do we think? Toss, consider?
Well, I get like Rich Strike won the Kentucky Derby.
Don't compare anything to Rich Strike.
No, wait, she's right, Nico. Rich Strike did win the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, sure. Actually, she's correct.
I am so right. Like, random things happen all the time.
But our whole conversation is based off reason and logic.
No, it really makes you think.
All out the window.
It really makes you think. He ran a 1:05.5 speed.
I know what he did.
I don't know. I don't feel convinced enough to toss.
Okay, but here's the thing. We have 3 horses, right, that we feel very confident in, I would say, right? Forbidden Kingdom, Taba, and Hoist the Gold.
Those are the ones we all seem to like, right?
Yeah. Which leaves us with one more horse.
Yes.
And that's Nakatomi. I think Perfect Flight. And then maybe Straight No Chaser. Are those the other 3 or is there another one? Right? Let's say there's even a 4th.
If we were choosing between horses that we were considering, I would probably like Messier a bit more than Perfect Flight. But I wouldn't like Messier more than, say, Nakatomi or Straight No Chaser.
Okay, so then, yeah. So we're basically deciding between 4 horses, let's call it. And is Straight No Chaser better than any of those three other horses to pick them? Like, we're basically picking a wild card here.
Yeah,
I'd rather go with Messier as the wild card than Straight No Chaser, if that's what we're doing.
We're trying to find the horse that's going to mess us up for sure. And yeah, Messier might be the horse too.
Who's our third?
So right now, our three, we like Taba the favorite. We all seem to like Forbidden Kingdom a lot, which makes sense. And then our third is the horse that we think is going to finish in the top four, and that's Hoist the Gold. And so now we need to find that fourth horse. And the problem with this race is I think you can make an argument for any of them to finish in the top four.
Yeah.
It's a fun race, right?
No. Not for this.
These are the ones that pay, though.
Why don't we just cut it out? Let's make it a trifecta, and we have a game, call it a day.
I think what we typically do when we have trouble like this is we all pick a horse that we absolutely need in the bet. So we have Taba. We all have the favorite. We're all going to pick Forbidden Kingdom. Whoever goes first is going to pick Forbidden
Kingdom. Yeah, we're all going to pick Forbidden Kingdom.
So do you want me to pick Forbidden Kingdom, and then you two pick the ones you need?
Sure, go ahead.
I mean, yeah, like, what do we want to do? Like, who do we want to put the pressure?
Well, this is the problem with only having three people.
This is, God damn it, George.
Well, wait, this then, no, we shouldn't actually have a problem. We have to pretend the favorite is the fourth horse. We each have to pick, like, somebody has to just pick horse. I guess that's what we're doing here. But we have to act like it's not because we're missing a fourth person, but because we want it to be our horse.
Yeah. What's the horse we need? The problem is whoever goes first is going to pick Forbidden King.
Yeah, we all want Forbidden King.
And so
King
the pressure is off that person because we all feel really good about it. The person who goes last is going to have to pick the wild.
Can we make it five?
That's an interesting thought. Do we want to stretch the bet?
That we all need.
We can stretch the bet to five. It would just be exponentially more expensive.
It would be exponentially more expensive.
For those of you unaware at home, adding a fifth horse to this race multiplies all of the combinations that we have by five.
A lot. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. So it turns a $12 bet into a $60 bet, I believe.
Yeah. For no reason.
No.
Well, there's no way to do it that makes sense then, because we all want two horses in there and there's three of us for two spots.
Yeah. Again, it's really intuitive to make this a four-horse bet. We just have to find our four.
Is our third Hoist the Gold?
We all seem to like Hoist the Gold.
I think our fourth is Perfect Flight.
Perfect Flight. Interesting.
I like Perfect Flight also, but Pat doesn't.
I'm not huge on. No.
But I don't like Perfect Flight more than others. Like,
then who? So name a horse. Name a horse. That's the
I like Nakatomi. I like Messier.
So you would put those in. So those are your need. My need is Perfect Flight.
You need Perfect Flight.
Okay, that's good. No, that's good. That's good.
No, yeah, I'm not dwelling on this too much. Sure. My need is Perfect Flight because Perfect Flight keeps coming in the top four.
That's fine. That's great. That's actually very helpful for us. So
I know. Doing us a favor here. So I'm not going to dwell. Like,
so, Taba, Keeks's must is Perfect Flight. So, Nico, which one of us is going to pick Forbidden Kingdom and who is going to pick the fourth horse?
Well, I really like Hoist the Gold.
All right, so okay. We have it. We did our
superfecta. That feels good to me.
That's our superfecta then.
Okay,
we
don't seem happy.
Wait, now let me play devil's advocate here.
You've been the entire time.
I pick Forbidden Kingdom.
Sure. Okay.
Who are you picking then?
It would be tough. It would be between Nakatomi and Straight No Chaser.
Oh, so you don't even like Hoist the Gold.
See, that's tough. Because I like Hoist the Gold for top four, but like if I was betting on this race, like personally, he wouldn't appear in any of my bets. But like top four, I think he could land in there.
Are we picking top four?
We are picking top four. That's the game we're playing. But I'm just like, if I was betting this race to win, what's the difference between me betting to win and me betting top four?
The horse not winning.
Yes, obviously. But I think if I was betting a horse to win, then that horse would be more likely to finish in the top four than the horse that I thought might finish in the top four.
So do you want me to remove Perfect Flight?
No, I like that you pick Perfect Flight. I like the conviction because this race, we don't seem to have any conviction.
Yeah, I don't think we like...
No, yeah, Perfect Flight.
You're taking it so seriously. You're like really stressed over there.
Me?
Yeah. You're so upset when I decided.
Well, just because you kind of did it all willy-nilly.
No, I didn't. We literally just went through and analyzed each horse.
Yeah, but for you to say,
in my opinion.
But for you to say out of the blue that all of a sudden you need perfect flight in this top four.
I need us to make a decision.
Okay, Teyvat, perfect flight, hoist the gold, and Forbidden Kingdom, right?
Yeah, that's fine. But now I'm just interested to hear what you would say if I picked Forbidden Kingdom.
If you had picked Forbidden Kingdom, I would have a tough choice. It would be between a couple of horses. Hoist the Gold could very well be my fourth horse. But there are some horses I like. Again, I love Wesley Ward. I don't love Nakatomi as a horse, but I think Wesley Ward knows how to prepare horses for races. And I don't think he would put this horse in a grade one if he didn't think he belonged. Straight No Chaser, on the other hand, is the complete opposite. I don't like Dan Blacker as a trainer much at all. I'm not really that familiar with him. I just think the horse showed something on dirt his first race. And like I said, if we believe that Forbidden Kingdom is going to last on the front end, it's very hard for me to just say, well, the other horse going to the front end is not going to finish the top four. Usually, if one of them sticks around, most of them stick around. Very rarely does one horse fade to dead last while the other horse wins the race.
Yeah, unless you're Messier in the Kentucky Derby.
Well, again, Messier, they all fade. Every single horse that went to the front end faded. That race.
Yeah, and Rich Strike won.
And Rich, yes, as Keeks mentioned, Rich Strike won. Proving anything can happen.
Oh, so there's a chance now that we're completely wrong, and the four we have are all in the front for the first three quarters of the race.
Yeah.
And then fade, and the last four come in and win.
I think we're aided by the distance.
They tie.
I think the 7 furlongs helped us.
Yeah, so then that's now an angle for Straight No Chaser.
Yeah, which is what I said earlier.
What I've been doing the whole time is giving you an angle.
I hear you, but that's why I'm saying that you just coming in and picking Perfect Flight as a necessity eliminates all of this discourse.
It doesn't, because we're still having it.
Yeah, but it sounds like we're kind of locked in on this four.
We're not. We don't have to be.
Okay.
If anything, I actually spurred conversation.
Yeah, I don't know that I am locked in on this four.
What?
He's not locked in on this four.
He's not locked in on this four?
Who don't you like in the top four?
I don't know.
I don't think Nico likes Perfect Flight. I think I'm just going to come out and say it. I'm going to read his mind here.
No, I do like Perfect Flight.
He's just not what I did.
But you're not locked in the top four.
So what horse is the problem?
I don't know. I think Tape is the problem here.
You think you want to toss Tape?
No.
What if we do?
We could toss Tape. I mean, there are vulnerabilities for the favorite.
How much time do we have till post?
We have 4 days till post.
This would be much easier if we were at the track right now and we just had to make a decision.
We had to make a decision 20 minutes.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I did that.
You know, the other fun part of this is we're doing this way in advance because of Christmas. So there could be scratches that we don't know about. There could be any number of things.
Yeah.
If Straight No Chaser is scratched, on the other hand, if Forbidden Kingdom scratch, if one of those two early speed horses is scratched, the other one becomes much more dangerous.
Yes.
Which is like something we can't even really afford to consider just because we can't know that.
Yeah, this is a big problem.
Yeah.
Let's just put a pin in it.
Yeah, we'll come back on Christmas morning. We'll record this podcast. We'll finish this podcast.
All right, so what's our four?
Our four currently, for the eighth time, is Teyvat, yeah. Forbidden Kingdom, Perfect Flight, and Hoist the Gold.
I think I'm good with that.
Good with that?
I think so.
Keeks, we good?
I'm fine.
All right. That's excellent.
Yeah. I don't know why we're doing this.
Here's a fun thing to think about. Do you think George would agree with our top four?
Should we call him?
No, absolutely not. The errands piled up on him. If we're sold on our top four, I think that, you know, that concludes our analysis of the Grade 1 Malibu Stakes. I think Forbidden Kingdom is our consensus pick for the win for those bettors out there who are curious. Thank you so much to my guests, Nico and Christina, in our first attempt doing this. Will we do it again?
Thanks, Pat. Yes.
I would throw in a fourth person, being that we're picking four horses.
We'll do Murray next time. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, no, he will show up.
Yes, he would.
Yeah.